eight lines, rubbing two nickels, just trying to make a dime. Hard to make a living while the gas so high. That's all right, 'cause I'm running every red light. Yeah, 'cause I've been known to write a few songs, loving and leaving and get too stoned. Following a pistol by my side, the devil's always along for the ride. Holy ride, holy ride. Yeah, 'cause I've been known to write a few songs, loving and leaving.
ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. In a social media post, President Trump says a trade deal has been reached between China and the U.S. Both leaders still need to sign off, he says. But the president says China goods will face 55% tariffs and the U.S. 10%. ABC's Karen Travers has details.
His Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick said this cleans up the agreement that was reached in Geneva last month. That was what led the president to drop tariffs on Chinese goods coming into the United States from that very high 145%. So it's essentially taking that and formalizing it. They still have a lot of things, though, they have to work out.
Protests continuing in Los Angeles over immigration raids. California's governor also pushing back on President Trump's decision to send National Guard troops. Demonstrations also taking place in other cities. Beach Boys legend Brian Wilson has died. His family announced the leader of the iconic 60s California band died and are asking for privacy. Brian Wilson was 82. This is ABC News. In Virginia, the body of a missing sailor was discovered after disappearing from the Navy base in Norfolk last month. Now her family is demanding answers from the military.
Investigators finding the body of 21-year-old Angelina Resendiz in a wooded area less than 10 miles from her barracks. She had not been seen since May 29th. NCIS says a fellow Navy sailor has been placed in pretrial confinement in connection with her death. Resendiz's family demanding answers. Her mother claims she was not notified of her daughter's disappearance through official military channels, instead finding out unofficially and through media coverage.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. A flood watch remains in place for East Texas, and that includes Dallas, all the way to Shreveport, Louisiana. Alerts are also in place in San Antonio for heavy rain expected today. And in western states, extreme heat is the concern. It's raising the threat of wildfires. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
The Home Depot has fast, free delivery on the perfect gift to help Dad do more this Father's Day. Because Dad is more than just a dad. He's groundskeeper of the yard, the perfecter of the patio, and the cleaner of the clippings. Power Dad's doing with Ryobi cordless outdoor power tools from the Home Depot. Like the Ryobi 40-volt string trimmer kit for $159. For everything Dad is, find the perfect gift at the Home Depot. Subject to availability, see homedepot.com/delivery for more details.
At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling Grandma for her recipe, no-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m., big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas, the ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2025 with select plans. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 7/2025. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation of single-line gold unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. Seeking federal help for lead contamination in Milwaukee schools, Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin met with families impacted by the Milwaukee Public Schools lead crisis Monday. Lead found in six MPS schools has affected around 2,000 students. In April, the Trump administration laid off Centers for Disease Control lead experts that could have assessed the situation. The Democratic senator called for their rehiring.
We've got to hold the Trump administration accountable, and they could make the situation better today by rehiring these experts.
Baldwin also requests that U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. visit Milwaukee to address the problem. Health experts in Wisconsin are pushing for expanded screening for a common newborn infection. UW Health Kids pediatrician Dr. Elizabeth Getz says cytomegalovirus can pass from expecting moms to the fetus.
The problem with diagnosing this virus is kind of twofold. Number one, most babies don't have symptoms. And number two, we have to catch it in the first 21 days.
In 10% of kids infected with CMV, hearing loss or more serious developmental delays can occur. The Milwaukee Brewers will host Pride Night Thursday at American Family Field.
The ball club partners with Aurora Healthcare for a Pride Night game against the St. Louis Cardinals. The event features vendors, music, and themed merchandise aiming to promote inclusivity and aligning with the Brewers' commitment to diversity. All fans in attendance are invited to embrace the LGBTQIA+ community. The Los Angeles Dodgers hosted the first Pride Night in 2000. Pride has become a contentious issue in professional sports, although the Texas Rangers are again the only MLB team not to host an event in the 2025 season. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny today and very summer-like, with high temperatures making it to the mid-70s with areas of wildfire smoke. Showers and some storms are possible this afternoon and evening as well, and a few could linger early tomorrow morning. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
A supply and demand report, and take a look at trade issues, and we'll get crop reports from Montana and Iowa, talk about the local issues, and find out what challenges and opportunities you are all managing in this week's Farmer Forum.
Live from the foothills of Hump Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Pat Westhoff from the University of Missouri. That's FAPRI. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Chad Ingalls and Michelle Jones. Directly following the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Glad, dude.
Yeah.
We have got another beautiful day going here in northeast Iowa. 76 degrees already.
76 already.
Yep.
I'm afraid we've got you by a couple of degrees. We're 79 here and sunny. Yeah, looks to be a great day, though, in KC.
Yeah, we're heading for a high of 88. And then, you know, since it's humid and everything, the storms will roll in tonight.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Sure.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. That's exactly right. And man, oh man, what is going on down there in Texas is just, it is crazy that that low pressure zone is just sitting in place and it is dumping a bunch of rain in eastern Texas right now. It's pretty crazy out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man. And more storms. Mm-hmm. They just won't go away. Just won't go away.
So, must be that time of year or something, eh?
It must be. It must be. All right. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis.
Hello.
We're going to get you ready for the supply and demand report that comes our way from USDA tomorrow. And, you know, it is interesting. The quarterly trade report that came out last week was missing some content. And we're trying to figure out exactly what is going on. All the core data was there. All the core data was there. But some of the commentary around the things that are impacting trade was missing. We'll talk to Pat about that a little bit, too. And then, of course, we got the Farmer Forum, Michelle from Montana and Chad from Iowa. All right, let's go ahead and get to the news.
We'll start with the National Weather Service. Heavy to severe thunderstorms may bring areas of excessive rainfall and flooding over parts of the southern plains through Friday. There is an increased risk of flash flooding in East Texas today. Severe thunderstorms and heavy rain are also possible across parts of the upper Midwest and northwestern states. Chip corn and soybeans built on Tuesday's gains during overnight trade, while wheat modestly rebounded after a framework trade deal was struck between the U.S. and China. The U.S. dollar index was trading near unchanged. Front-month crude oil futures were nearly $1 higher, just ahead of the open. A little bit of strength in the corn there, Chip.
Yeah, yeah, a penny to 3 cents higher. The bull spreads. The bull spreads are working in the corn market again today. But the soy complex is just unimpressed by the deal, the framework agreement with China. Not seeing much strength there. Wheat, after a couple of down days, is trying to recover some. And then we got to watch what's happening in this cattle complex. We've got a sell-off happening this morning.
Well, Chip, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, raided a Glen Valley Foods meat production plant in Omaha, Nebraska on Tuesday, detaining dozens of workers. The raid was, quote, based on an ongoing criminal investigation into the large-scale employment of aliens without authorization to work in the United States. That, according to an ICE spokesperson speaking with ABC News.
Yeah, and we're trying to figure out exactly how many processing facilities were raided by ICE. It sounds like there may be a disruption on the edge of happening out there in Nebraska.
Well, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit has ruled that tariffs imposed under the Trump administration using the International Emergency Economic Powers Act will remain in effect while legal proceedings continue. This decision extends a previous stay of a ruling by the Court of International Trade. In its order, the appeals court noted it will hear oral arguments in the case on July 31, setting an expedited schedule that both sides had requested. U.S. and Chinese officials say after 2 days of meetings in London, they have agreed on a framework deal to keep the trade truce intact and remove China's export restrictions on rare earths. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick said the framework deal puts, quote, meat on the bones of an agreement reached last month in Geneva to ease bilateral retaliatory tariffs. Not a final deal here, Chip, but it does seem like we're making decent progress.
It certainly does. More progress than what I anticipated.
Yeah. Well, the U.S. and Mexico are reportedly nearing a deal to reduce or eliminate President Trump's 50% steel tariffs on imports up to a certain volume. An industry source familiar with the talks told Reuters a likely outcome would include a quota arrangement, which, under a specified volume from Mexico, could enter duty-free or at a reduced rate, and any imports above that level would be charged the full 50% tariffs. Meanwhile, trade negotiations between the European Union and the United States are expected to stretch beyond President Trump's July 9 deadline, despite a recent acceleration in talks. This is the one that surprised me. I figured China would drag their feet. Now, we're going past the deadline for the EU here, Chip.
Yeah. Well, trying to get all 27 countries to decide on anything on trade with the U.S. is going to be really, really difficult.
Absolutely. Let's get over to Margie and leave it there.
All right. Sounds good. Let's bring in Margie Ekelkamp, editor of The Scoop. Good morning, Margie.
Hey, Chip. Good morning.
Okay, what's the latest on the digital business tools for ag retailers? What do you got?
Yeah, so this is kind of an update that might be behind the curtain for most of our farmer audience, but will have trickle-down positive effects for their relationships with ag retail. So we had two announcements coming from the digitization of the ag retail business just this week, one being from AgVend and how they're able to help retailers really manage those relationships that they have with suppliers and give some new insights into overall product sales volumes through the season, as well as product supplies, inventory, and some predictive analytics as well. And speaking of predictive analytics, that's what the announcement from Growers is all about. And they are really helping retailers manage that customer relationship and even look ahead to what that farmer's needs could be, yeah, or maybe some unmet needs. So this is really some tools that are being introduced to the industry. A lot of farmers say that some of the friction points in recent times with some of the black swans that we've had, yeah, fly into the supply chain has been around product availability and knowing what inventories are, knowing what intention for application is. You know, this is a drum that I've beat a lot on this program, yeah, talking, yeah, to both sides of the market, both farmers and retailers. But really, I think it's technology as tools to foster improved relationships and most tangibly through some improved communications.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important. There's no doubt about it. And anything that we can do to help those retailers or improve service to the farmers out there, I mean, it's something to put into place. Thank you, Margie.
Thank you, Chip.
All right. That is Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. Coming up next, we're going to get you ready for tomorrow's USDA Supply and Demand Report. Pat Westhoff, University of Missouri Faculty, next here on AgriTalk.
If you're looking for promises to overcome yield-threatening challenges, you might go with Big Seed. But if you're looking for real results, go local with Champion Seed. We know that what yields in one field may not be the right seed for the field across the road. That's why we test hundreds of traits and genetics every year to handpick a seed lineup that will perform. And we use local data to dial in on what grows best in your ground. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
The Dirt with me, Mike Howell, an economics podcast where I present the down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Inspired by economics.com, farming's go-to informational resource, I'm here to break down the latest crop nutrition research, news, and issues, helping farmers make better business decisions through actionable insights. Let's dig in.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle. Or forget extra diapers. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never, ever become a minivan mom. So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, know it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that more than 96% of Wisconsin's dairy farms are family-owned, producing over 30 billion pounds of milk every year? That's nearly 14% of total U.S. milk production. The lure of Wisconsin's picturesque dairy farms, pastures, and rolling hills help make tourism one of the state's top industries. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by UtterTech. From waterproof bib overalls to cloth towel aprons, UtterTech products can make your life easier on the farm. Find out more. Visit UtterTechInc.com.
UtterTech is celebrating June Dairy Month by donating 1 gallon of milk to area food pantries with every web order. Visit UtterTechInc.com and order your waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech working gear is ready to go for the next day. Visit UtterTechInc.com. Place your order, and UtterTech will donate 1 gallon of milk to area food pantries.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Champion Seed. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Wednesday morning. We've got the Farmer Forum coming up at the bottom of the hour, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to get Pat Westhoff on here to give us his thoughts, expectations for tomorrow's supply and demand report from USDA. Pat is the director of the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute. That's what we call FAPRI at the University of Missouri. Hey, Pat, how's it going?
Going fine here, although I got lots of drilling happening just outside my door. So hope it's not going to disrupt us here this morning.
I think we'll be all right. Sounds good. So it's the level of the priority of this June report. It's not what it was in May when we got the first look at the 2025-26 marketing year, but still, it's an important update right in front of the stocks data and the acreage report, isn't it?
That's right. This is probably one last chance to see important news out of South America. So we'll see what we hear in terms of production in Brazil and Argentina. We don't expect big headlines on the U.S. side this time around, but we'll watch and see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a great point on the foreign production estimates in Brazil and Argentina in particular. Everybody keeps wanting to push that corn crop up now, don't they?
Yes, they do. It seems like it keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, yeah. 106, I believe it's 160 million metric ton now. That has got to be some of the reason for the pressure on old crop corn futures, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly isn't helping, that's for sure. Yeah, that crop keeps getting bigger, and the concerns about the U.S. crop aren't really developing too much yet. You know, so those two mm-hmm. things combined are definitely putting downward pressure on markets.
Right, right. Okay, supply side for corn and soybeans in tomorrow's update. Probably not going to see any adjustments there.
I don't expect any big ones. We'll watch the export figure, watch the feed use figure. But my guess is until we get the stocks report at the end of the month, we probably won't see USDA make major adjustments in those use categories yet.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and that's a good point on the feed and residual. Usually we don't see much of a change there until we get a change on the supply side, right?
That's right. That's right. So until the supply numbers change, until we've got a stocks report to look at, my guess is those numbers probably won't change tomorrow.
Okay. All right. So what do you feel the corn market is focused on right now?
I think it is thinking about the supplies going forward, you know, so wrapping up the South American crop and starting to think about this year's crop in the U.S. Demand is always a concern, and you know, trade news can move the market, but not as much as perhaps it did a few weeks ago.
Okay. The trade issues that we're talking about, both teams went home from London. The U.S. and the China trade teams went home from London. I think they were both pretty happy with the progress that was made. Is that what you're picking up?
Yeah, that seems to be the story from both sides. That's not been the common outcome here recently, so we'll see how that plays out.
How important is this conversation between the U.S. and China on trade?
I think it's incredibly important. If you think about a world where China only imposes 10% tariffs on U.S. agricultural products, that's a heck of a lot different world than one where, you know, the tariff rates become prohibitive. You know, a 10% tariff, we might still sell some soybeans to China. At a 30, 40, 50% tariff, that probably doesn't happen. You know, so I think it does make a big difference, especially for the soybean market. For corn, China's largely out of the market anyway, and I don't really anticipate them getting back in unless there's a surprise somewhere else in the world. But for soybeans, it is a big deal.
Okay. It sounds like there's some progress being made in the talks with Mexico as well on steel and aluminum. What is the status there?
Yeah, I don't know the stories there, but yes, there's rumor that we're going to be looking at perhaps some rollback in the current U.S. tariffs on Mexican steel, which, of course, could have an impact on steel prices with downstream effects on machinery purchases.
Yeah. So, Pat, how does Seth Meyer at USDA, chief economist there, how does he manage all of this uncertainty when putting together the outlook?
Yeah, it's a non-trivial problem, to put it mildly. I'm kind of glad that we did our baseline back in January before so much has happened, and we'll be doing an update in August once we get some more information. But between there and August, there's so much has happened. It's tough to just keep up day to day what the latest to and fro is.
Yep. Hey, the corn exports that we've got going this year, is it an outlier year, or would you expect more of the, you know, good, solid corn export demand going forward?
Yeah, it's been a solid year. We do have in our own projections some increases across time going forward, but not dramatic increases. But tons of uncertainty around those. You know, does China continue to be a purchaser, even now, of U.S. corn? Does China keep buying other countries' corn? How much growth is there in South America, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So just tons of uncertainty around the corn market going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, and that supply of corn coming out of Brazil, it's an important factor, obviously. But they're keeping more and more of that in country for ethanol production, aren't they?
That's right. So that's one reason they can have a big increase in production and have an increase in exports, because they are indeed increasing their domestic consumption, primarily for ethanol is where the growth is occurring, but there's also feed use growth happening in Brazil as well.
Right, right. Longer term outlook on soybeans. You mentioned your baseline that we've talked about on the show, but the longer term outlook, it feels like people have kind of come to the conclusion that maybe the market got a little too bearish on beans, because it's not a burdensome carryover for at least the next 2 years, right?
Yeah, the U.S. carryout is less than most of us would have anticipated a few months ago. And so with that, you know, slightly tighter supply situation, you know, unless we get a really, really big crop or unless demand really falls off the table, we probably should be able to sustain prices a bit higher than we would have guessed a few months ago. Now, there's lots of caveats there. You know, tell me what happens on the biofuel side. You know, tell me lots of other things I don't know today to change that picture dramatically.
Yep. The biofuels, the pending SREs, we're waiting on the renewable volume obligations. This is important stuff for the corn and soybean market, isn't it?
Incredibly so. I mean, if you look at how much biofuels we consume, we talk about all the various things that can move biofuels around. They're all important. But ultimately, we end up consuming as much biofuels in this country as the renewable fuel standard requires.
Yeah.
How much is ethanol, how much is biodiesel, how much is renewable diesel, that can change around. But the aggregate ends up being largely driven by what the RVO is set. And so that is a decision that's probably more important than some people recognize.
Yeah. So the year-round availability of E15, I want to talk about that real quick, too. It sounds great because it's a 50% increase in what is available out there, but unless it's the default gasoline, the default blend, it's going to be tough to translate into additional corn consumption for ethanol, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I do think we have seen, and we probably will continue to see, some increase in E15 usage going forward, especially if we've got friendly policies in place. But unless the RVOs are, you know, the future requirements are set high enough, you know, I don't expect there to be a huge increase in ethanol consumption in the near future.
Okay. All right. We get a new production report for wheat tomorrow. What should we expect there?
Don't know what to expect there. I think I'll just watch and see with everybody else tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. The quarterly trade report that was out, it was missing some of the context that we normally get in that quarterly trade report. What was missing?
Well, again, there's often a story going on with the numbers, right? And we didn't get that story this month. And so we'll see if that comes back again in the future or not. I don't think there's any reason to suspect the numbers themselves are problematic in any way. But certainly it would have been nice to hear more of the story about why we're seeing what we're seeing in those numbers.
Yeah, and it wasn't a huge change in the ag trade deficit. Went from $49 billion to $49.5 billion, but the conversation is that they took out any reference to the tariff issues, right?
There's lots of stories going around about what happened and why, and I've heard some of the stories, but I have no idea which ones are true, so I won't repeat any of them.
I gotcha. But this is an important issue for us going forward, isn't it?
Yeah, no, certainly. I mean, the credibility of USDA reports is always, you know, is a bedrock, you know, of the information we use to make decisions in this country. You know, so we want to make sure we've got confidence in those reports. Again, nothing I've seen suggests that the numbers that have come out are in any way questionable. But, you know, again, you know, people do worry about the future. Are we going to be able to continue to rely on USDA for reliable, objective information?
Gotcha. Pat, thanks for making time for us this morning. We certainly appreciate it.
Thanks again for the opportunity, Chip.
You bet. Pat Westhoff, Director of the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, or FAPRI, there at the University of Missouri. It is Wednesday morning. That means it's time for the free-for-all. We've got Michelle and Chad coming up next here on AgriTalk.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive. Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Corteva Agriscience has launched a pioneer-specific biologicals offering called Nexta. Yield potential is highest before the seed goes into the ground. And Nexta solutions protect and preserve this yield potential season long with the start, grow, finish approach. Using Nexta solutions, farmers can stress less and yield more. Learn more about how Nexta Solutions can increase your crop yield. Call Bauer Seeds and Service, your pioneer dealer serving Durand. Visit them online at BauerSeedsAndService.com.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, July milk down 30 to 1822, August down 24 to 1882, September down 19 to 1916, October down 12 at 1917. Meanwhile, live cattle markets are higher in the nearby months, are lower in deferreds. Nearbys are still seeing some support due to strength in the box beef prices. Feeder cattle markets, though, are trading cautiously and mostly lower due to traders wanting to see more fundamental support before moving prices higher. Hog markets moving mostly higher due to strength in cash values and also pork cutout value. June live cattle up 75 cents to 227.82. August feeder cattle down $1.70 to 311.45. June hogs up 27 cents to 103.42. Chicago Board of Trade, corn and soybeans are relatively flat today. A lack of news to move the markets higher. There's also some positioning ahead of tomorrow's WASDE report and crop reports as well. Wheat markets are also moving slightly lower, getting a little bit of harvest pressure in the wheat markets today. July corn up a half to 439 and a quarter. New crop steady at 440. July beans down 3 3/4 to 1054. New crop down 3/4 to 1030 and a half. July wheat down a half to 534. September down a quarter to 548 and a half. Minneapolis wheat July up 1 1/4 to 614 and a half.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
There's no such thing as too much caring. That's why Gunderson Health System and Bellin Health have come together to form Amplify Health. The same doctors you trust, the same hospitals and clinics you count on, the same great care, all amplified by an even higher focus on empathy. Amplify Health is more than just a new name. It's a way to make personalized care more personal than ever. Amplify Health by Gunderson. A little empathy changes everything.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Yeah, so, Davis, it sounds like I was getting a little ahead of myself there at the end, and Yeah. And you mentioned that the free-for-all was next. No.
Oh, no, no, no. Let's get Wednesday. Farmer Forum. Yeah. We've got some boxes to check before we can free-for-all it, brother.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we've got the Farmer Forum here on Wednesday. Michelle Jones out in Montana. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. I'm actually in Montana, so it's a pretty good day.
Outstanding. We can see the big sky out there behind you.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Well, welcome. It's good to get you back here for the conversation. Chad Ingles, Northeast Iowa. Hey, Chad, how's it going?
Feeling good today. Glad for the invitation to join in. And I was going to comment on that big sky in the background, too, right? Yeah. I came inside because the birds were chirping too loud. So
love it. Love it. Man, the sunshine that we're getting in Northeast Iowa right now, Chad, is a little different. We were missing it there for a while, weren't we?
Yeah, it is a little unusual. I was starting to wonder if that's with the smoke and all the clouds, and it's maybe impacting crop progress a little bit.
But. Yep, yep. How is the crop looking? Take us through the planting season.
So as a state legislator, I'm not a very good one to be very timely, especially this planting season when we run overtime. But things look really good. There are probably some stand issues with some corn and beans that were planted, say the 16th through 18th of April. But things have, a little bit of replanting was done then. Everything that I put in went in after that. Stands are fantastic, and we're just working on getting weeds controlled and getting some side dress nitrogen put on. So,
gotcha. Good stuff, Michelle. Let's get your crop report. How's the planting season been out there? How's spring look?
The spring was really good. The spring was really pretty wet in the southern half of Montana. The northern half is still pretty dry. But in our area, the winter wheat looks exceptional, and really so does the alfalfa. We've got some heat this week, which is actually fine. And then some thunderstorms are scheduled for over the weekend. So hopefully they contain themselves and don't have too much hail, but it still will take the moisture for sure in June. But overall, really, really good in south central Montana.
All right. What's your crop mix look like this year, Michelle?
We're actually really narrow. We have got a very small amount of spring wheat and barley. We're predominantly alfalfa and winter wheat, and it's a good year for that because those crops are out ahead of normal. We'll probably harvest 2 to 3 weeks early, and because of that, the moisture has been really well timed. And the winter wheat, I mean, if it gets a half inch more, it's a phenomenal crop in our area because we're so far advanced.
Good. Good. Love to hear that. The grass green up your way and the cows are happy?
Oh, yeah. I've been surprised. There's a bunch of Garrison foxtail, which is growing in places that doesn't normally grow. And I said something to my dad about it, and he was like, yeah, it's awesome. I said, we've got way more subsoil moisture than I thought we did to have the Garrison growing where it is. So cows are definitely happy. Ranchers are definitely happy. And the grass looks outstanding, at least localized. If you get out beyond me 100 miles or so, Montana is on the drought monitor up to D2, I believe. So they could definitely use some moisture to the north and east of me. But south central, we're in good shape.
Good. Good. Outstanding. Chad, what have you been thinking about? What are you working on right now?
Well, I've been thinking about rocks here a little bit here lately. We're going to be heading out and enjoying the sun, picking up a few rocks that Canada and Minnesota sent down to us many years ago. other than that, just trying to find some opportunities to market some grain. The markets haven't been too giving here lately, so hopefully something changes there.
Yeah. As you mentioned, you are an Iowa State representative. It was an active session for you with some ag issues, wasn't it?
Right. Probably the biggest one right now, we're still waiting on finalization, is related to the Summit Carbon Capture Pipeline and around property rights and eminent domain. The House and Senate sent a bill to the governor. She has until the end of the week to decide if she's going to sign it or veto it. I'm in the camp that I don't necessarily think it's the right bill here. I enjoyed the comments by our Senate President, Amy Sinclair, here last week on Iowa Press. It's promoted as a property rights bill or a landowner protection bill. I didn't think it quite got there, and it could have been something different. So we're going to wait and see what the governor does. I know industry has been talking to her, both proponents and opponents, and we'll see what happens here.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's a incredibly important issue here in Iowa because of the potential impact on the biofuels industry, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. I think opponents of the idea are opposed to it philosophically for a couple of different things related to climate change and just carbon capture credits and all that. But we need to take a bigger, broader look that we're trying to meet markets, and the Iowa corn farmer needs something like this to be profitable in the future, and we need to not limit progress, and hopefully we can come back around and take a better look at this issue.
Gotcha. Michelle, what's going on up in Montana that we need to know about?
You know, it was actually I think it was a busy legislative season. I have a chronic habit of paying more attention to the federal level than I do the state level, and let people like the Montana Grain Growers and Farm Bureau handle the state level. I think there wasn't, you know, Montana policy locally tends to be relatively ag favorable. It's a very conservative Senate and House, and then the governor is a Republican also. So I think they did some pretty good work on some property tax issues that have been coming up in Montana. But overall, there wasn't anything that was highly contentious or just wasn't. It was taken care of in a pretty expedited manner.
Gotcha. Okay, well, then let's jump out to the federal stuff. What'd you make of the MAHA report, the Make America Healthy Again, the commission report there, Michelle?
Not great. You know, the seed oil is super interesting and into how it became like the current, boogeyman of food. And it's interesting. Like, I even see it in a lot of agriculture circles outside of the soybean growers where, you know, people are moving away from seed oils for their families. And I just don't really understand it. And it's a very interesting case study to me on how, even within agriculture circles, we will do things and perpetuate rumors and myths that are harmful for other producers within agriculture. Mm-hmm. But I certainly from a federal policy standpoint, it was not favorable for the seed oil growers and just has some concerning things overall.
Right. Chad, not only seed oil, but crop protection, glyphosate and atrazine got specific mentions.
Oh, definitely. And I think we all expected that to show up in that type of report. My biggest disappointment with it was probably the idea that a lot of it was AI generated. References were improper or not available at all. So that was disappointing. I was a little surprised yesterday, Secretary Rollins and her comments on the report that she's usually a pretty big proponent of everything this administration is doing. But she kind of held back a little bit on that report and said that they could do better. So
yeah,
see what happens.
I have to this point been impressed with the transparency of Rollins. If she's thinking it, It really doesn't matter what's coming out of the White House or other agencies. She's going to say it. And when I asked her about the reaction from the commodity groups, that it was generally negative, and she said, and you know what? That's fair. The reaction is fair. What are your thoughts on Secretary Rollins to this point, Michelle?
Well, I agree with that. The trade report notwithstanding, she's done an excellent job, and I think that it's good to see her push back against those things. And that's always been a really important job of the ag secretary, is to push back on the EPA. You know, when they do chemical reviews and those sort of things, herbicides, MAHA, obviously going to need to push back against that. But that's a really critical role, because you don't want some of those policies to bleed into the SNAP programs and the food side of the Farm mm-hmm. Bill and USDA's, you know, role. But you certainly want to protect agriculture policy. So I've enjoyed seeing that from her.
Yeah, Yeah. Chad, your thoughts on Rollins?
Oh, I think she's been a fantastic promoter of agriculture and being out there, being transparent. The previous 4 years, we didn't hear a lot out of the Department of Agriculture, and I think we're hearing a lot of good things. It's great to see her overseas talking trade with other countries, being part of that conversation. And back here, she's been to Iowa already, and she's been around all over the country, and so I think that's very positive.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. You know, so far to date, the trade missions are still very much a part of USDA, as it was under Joe Biden. It was all about trade missions and not about negotiating trade deals. This time we've got both happening at the same time. And that feels more like what it is supposed to be, in my opinion. We've got the trade missions that are happening. Go out there to try to build up the relationships with our trading partners, and let's solidify those trade issues in the trade agreements. Okay, we are in the middle of the Farmer Forum. Michelle Jones up in Montana, Chad Ingalls here in Northeast Iowa. We're going to talk trade. We're going to do that next. Get your guys' take on what's going on with the trade issues right here on AgriTalk.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Remember the last time you had your picture taken? What was it the photographer said to make you smile? Cheese, one of our favorite foods. We put it on burgers and sandwiches, omelets and quiches, and we love to fondue. Say cheese.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all your hard work throughout the year. This June Dairy Month salute brought to you by Security Financial Bank, Durand, River Falls, Eau Claire, Ladysmith, Bloomer, and Black River Falls.
At SFB Security Financial Bank, our agricultural relationship managers don't just know about banking. They possess hands-on experience in the agriculture industry. With long-term expertise and first-hand knowledge of the industry, our staff has your agricultural banking needs covered. Contact us today to learn how we can help. Security Financial Bank, Black River Falls, Bloomer, Durand, Eau Claire, Ladysmith, and River Falls. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Mike Howell, host of The Dirt, an economic podcast featuring down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Here's a highlight of our latest episode.
In this case, it's mixed, depending upon what crop you're looking at. For corn, that number is coming down. We saw the supply side of the corn market actually move down a bit in terms of overall production year on year. But we've been seeing usage actually gained to record levels right now. And so that's helping lower those stock levels. And you've seen some positive momentum in the corn market over the past few months. On the other hand, crops like soybeans, it's been a little more problematic. That stocks to use ratio has actually gone up a bit because we produced more than we were using. That put a little squeeze on prices and not allowing it to grow. And when you think about how other crops are playing into this, they're sort of falling in between those two extremes. Like wheat, we've seen some gains there because, yeah, the stocks-to-use ratio has narrowed down a bit.
Chad, what does this mean for growers? I'm hearing more and more talk about people increasing corn acreage or reducing soybean acreage. Do you think that's real this year, or what do you see in your part of the world?
Oh, I definitely do, and I would say farmers started to show signals of that actually even last fall. As I drove around right after harvest, I did get to see a lot of fertilizer being applied in the fall. That's usually a really good sign that that land's going into corn production. I saw a lot of tillage happening there as well, and that happens more in front of corn as you look out there. And when we look at the general rotation that we see farmers follow, especially with corn and soybeans, they're either typically either doing a corn-soybean rotation or a corn-corn-soybean rotation.
If you'd like to dig in deeper, listen to the full episode on your favorite streaming site or on our website, nutrien-economicswithak.com. And stay up to date with the latest crop nutrition research and news to help you make better business decisions. New episodes of The Dirt drop every Tuesday, so be sure to tune in weekly.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to the Farmer Forum here on AgriTalk. Michelle Jones, Montana, Chad Ingles in Northeast Iowa. Hey, real quick, I just want everybody to remember, we've been talking about the Yield Academy. It's happening August 21st, Rochester, Minnesota. Ken Ferry, David Hula, Randy Doughty talking about growing more bushels per acre. Machine Repeat, Casey Seymour are going to be there talking about equipment. And Dan Bossi will be there talking about what to do on the marketing side of things. Again, August 21st, Rochester, Minnesota. That's the Yield Academy 2025. It's happening on the last day of Crop Tour 2025. And, of course, our final meeting will be there in Rochester that night. All right, let's get back to Michelle and Chad. Michelle, start us off on the trade issues. What do you make of the progress? Do you like, do you support what President Trump is doing here on trade issues?
Well, I guess I can answer the latter one. Do I support what President Trump is doing on tariffs? Absolutely not. Everyone knows that. Do I support like the negotiations with the countries that we are doing? Absolutely, because that's what we actually need to see happen. I do agree with Chuck Grassley, who I think it was last week he was on the Free For All, that I would like to see us focus on one country, not like major yep. negotiations with 20 countries, because there's just not that much bandwidth at USTR. USTR is already a relatively small agency. But I think that the work that they're doing with India is tremendous. That is, you know, our next big market. The China trade framework, I think that's more of like a headline, because I'm not quite sure what we got out of it other than the rare earth minerals. But like, we still need to enforce China trade deal one, which had some good things in it. Yeah. So overarchingly, there are some good things in it. I just disagree with the methods and how we are actually getting there.
Gotcha. Chad, what's your take?
I just want to say ditto and be done with that. But I think the instability that has been created with all the put the tariffs on, take the tariffs off, put them on again and take them off again, has created some issues in the markets right now. I'm fully behind the idea that we need to get better trade agreements with countries around the world than what we've had. I would agree that Senator Grassley made a very good point about let's work with one at a time, get the deal done, get it announced and move on. India is going to be a critical partner in the future. We need to focus on them. Of course, we need to continue that conversation with China and firm things up there. But some of all this other nonsense, I think, has just created frustration, heartache, heartburn for a lot of people. And if we could kind of just settle down, stabilize things, and go forward, I think we're going to be in a good position.
Yeah, and the other point that Grassley made on, it was on Monday morning on the show, the other point that he made was that the tariffs are creating all kinds of uncertainty when it comes to business investment. And that is why he wants, as you guys have said, let's focus on getting one or two deals done. Let's finalize them. Let's bring them to conclusion and then use that as a template out there. That would bring some confidence back to business investment. That's a key issue right there. It's a great point that...
Definitely.
Yeah, great point that the senator made.
My brother operates a heavy trailer manufacturing business, and so they use a lot of steel, and they're concerned about their supply chains for that.
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. No doubt. I mean, even Steve Moore, he's an economist out there, a huge Trump supporter when it comes to the steel tariffs. You know, he says very, very flat out, you got to be more concerned about the jobs you're losing downstream than you are encouraged by the jobs we're bringing back to the steel industry. So when Steve Moore says something like that, it's probably a real thing, a real issue out there. Okay, reconciliation, Bill, Michelle, are you concerned at all about the impact it might have on the farm bill?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's a path forward for the farm bill with all of this stuff in reconciliation. That said, I don't know that there's a path forward for the farm bill without all of this stuff in the reconciliation bill. But I do think we have to weigh through what that means for future farm bills. And the reconciliation bill, like, I agree. I don't actually think that Elon's wrong in terms of, like, this is a massive, massive debt producer. Yep. But I'm not that fiscally conservative that I'm going to argue for it to be voted against. But I see why, like, you're in the formal polls from Paul Niefer were indicating that farmers did not support it because of the debt production. But I also just don't know how we actually get a farm bill without it. We've been in this limbo land for a while. There's large budget impacts that need to change in the farm bill. And it appears that, like, this is the only way going forward, because otherwise the price tag on an actual farm bill standalone bill is going to be so large that it's not, they're just not going to pass it. It's not going to fall under that must pass legislation. They'll get gridlock between Republicans and Democrats on the food side, the nutrition side, and then the farm side. So I think it is where it has to be. I think that it also says a lot for farm policy going forward that we should be concerned about.
Gotcha. We're almost out of time here, Chad. What's on your mind? What are you thinking about next?
Well, I guess we've had... droughtish issues up this way, so I'm looking forward to what RMA comes out with their yields next week and see if my ACO insurance hits and what that payment is. Looking for some rain. I'm looking, forecast looks a little more positive. We're pretty dry here right now.
Yep, no doubt about it. Real quick, Michelle, what are you looking at?
Locally, agronomically, we've got some growing concerns with cheatgrass being resistant to glyphosate that we've got to deal with that have been a challenge. And then outside of that, just where we land on the tariffs, how we're looking on the input side and trying to manage the expenses.
Outstanding. All right, guys, thank you so much for making time for us this morning. Really appreciate it. Chad Ingles in Iowa, Michelle Jones up in Montana. Guys, come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions, here on AgriTalk.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
This is Andrew McCray, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. I'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow. Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code GPS for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code GPS for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code GPS for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth testifying for a second day.